wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Change it, yeah. Change it. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, y'all. Y'all. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Wake up, everybody. Wake up, everybody. Need a little help, y'all. Yes,
I do. Live from the Zodiac Preserve Studio in Round Rock, Texas. This is Soul Talk, a spiritual feast to leaven the world's soul. I am your sacred chef, Chuck Freeman, on the Soul Talk Radio Network, and now broadcasting on the Progressive Voices Network as well. On today's menu, soul food. 1,659 children shall lead them. Sanctified Segway. Little Child Running Wild by my main man, Curtis Mayfield. The Hearty Fair Dinner Conversation with Gerald Davis. And the Soul Stirrer with Embodied Faith in Action, Reverend Gerald Davis speaks as the Spirit gives him utterance. And now, your sanctified segue. Good Brother Curtis. Little Child Running Wild.
Little Child Running Wild. Watch your wild. See, he never smiled. Broken home, father gone, mama tired, so is all alone.
My man Curtis, I love the way he puts those strings in there and those horns. Plus that voice. I tell you what, they got some good music in heaven. I can tell you that right now. Curtis and others up there. Aretha just joined them a while back. Welcome back. This is Soul Talk here on the Soul Talk Radio Network. I'm Chuck Freeman, your sacred chef for our spiritual feast, and we're going to move on now to your soul food for the day. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on them, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might. They will decide with equity for the meek of the earth. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion, and the faltering and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. classic scripture from the prophet Isaiah. Those in power are not only betraying us and taking away our future, but are responsible for the climate crisis that's unfolding in horrendous ways around the world. Those are the words of Anna Taylor, 17 years old, who co-founded the United Kingdom Student Climate Network. Children at tens of thousands of schools in more than 100 countries are taking part in walkouts today, March the 15th, which began last year when one teenager, Greta Thunberg, held a solo protest outside the Swedish Parliament. I've heard several interviews with her and parts of her speech to the United Nations. I think she's possibly nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, if I remember that correctly. And since then, since Greta started this one teenager walk out of school in Sweden, the climate movement has snowballed with school children on every continent except Antarctica getting involved. I think they got a few penguins involved there. In the United States, students organized some 400 walkouts in all 50 states. And there are 1,659 climate walkout events planned today worldwide. So most people who know anything about the biblical tradition know that passage that I led with, that depending on how you look at it, but in Christianity they consider that a messianic passage, meaning that it's talking about the Messiah, the anointed one. And of course Christians interpret that as a foretelling, a prophecy, if you will, of Jesus, etc. But you don't have to think of it that way. I'm using it, of course, poetically in a broader context, and I think that principle is pretty clear, that there are children, there are youth that see the world differently than those of us who've been around a while. They're not as jaded. They are closer to the source. They're not going, well, you just got to go along to get along. They want what those of us who were young or younger once wanted. We want a world where we can all live together, a world in which justice and kindness and goodness and fairness are the norm. So I love that passage, that a little child shall lead them. And in this case, since there are 1,659 climate events, you have at least that many youth leaders, and of course, obviously, many more youth taking part. Now, one thing I'll have to admit that I struggle with, of course, I'm all for our governments doing everything within their power and creating policies that would decrease the greenhouse gases and keep our climate cooler, so we're not going to have these catastrophic events happening. But I'll have to admit, I wonder, am I doing enough personally? Am I thinking, well, the government should do something, but I'm really doing the minimum? course, I recycle, you know, all the basic things. I still drive a car that runs on gas. I don't even have a hybrid. I flew to McAllen, Texas. Last weekend, I'm going to be flying to Tulsa, Oklahoma this coming week. I flew out to Los Angeles a few weeks ago. We know that the airplanes put out a lot of CO2 into the air, carbon monoxide, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. I wonder if I'm doing enough. I try to be conscientious. I try to keep my trips down to a minimum, but I just wonder about it. So I respect, in fact, when I heard Greta and her dad on the radio on some interviews, now they, in fact, she had, one reason she had to get out of school a lot earlier to go to the United Nations event was they had to, they were taking the train. So they've sworn off gasoline engines, they've sworn off airplanes, et cetera, et cetera. So I know all this stuff's on a continuum. Well, I will say, now today, the headlines are going to be dominated by this horrific murders and massacre at the Muslim mosques in New Zealand. And this plane crash that happened in Ethiopia a few days ago, and whatever the latest criminal circus going on with the current hostile occupier of the White House, etc. But this is a big story. In the long term, this may be a story that is more profound than the urgency of the headlines today. Can you imagine this? I mean, this is, you know, over 1,659 events, tens of thousands of children in 100 countries. Very impressive. And there's a clear message to us adults, and I'll take myself in that, who do a little bit but are quick to criticize governments and corporations who don't do more. Now I'm going to close with another prophet, my good brother Jesus. He chimed right in with the prophet Isaiah's sentiments. And this is an interesting little dialogue to those of his day stuck in the institutional box. This brief dialogue occurred where the critic said to Jesus, "Do you hear these children, what they are saying?" "Yes," he replied. "Have you never read? From the lips of the children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise." A little bit more of a good brother Curtis. "Little child running wild." And we'll be right back. Curtis, I tell you what, every time I hear stuff like that, you got that horns or strings, that funky sax, that voice. "Little child running wild." Welcome back. This is Soul Talk here on the Soul Talk Radio Network. Go to soultalkradio.com. Hear us stream at our archives 24/7. Hear our podcasts. Go to Progressive Voices Network. We're also streaming on there. And we're going to move on now to what we call our Hearty Fair Dinner Conversation. That's where we see how the soul food went down with good brother Gerald Davis of Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's
Amen.
I'm going to hope to see him next Friday or Saturday with my climate crimes.
Yes, buddy.
Brother
we
Davis.
Will. So we will share moments together and hopefully break some bread and make some things happen. All of that good stuff will happen in the future. Right now, I want to speak about what I see as a paradoxical equation.
All right.
The little child shall lead them as the little child is running wild.
Uh-oh, here we go. The man is going to start preaching now.
You see, it's a paradox, because if a little child is leading them, and them, of course, would be the elders, to the elders, the child is running wild because the child is not following what they would prescribe as the path. But the little child is on a different path. The little child is listening to the spirit of the moment, speaking to them and leading them in such a way that some would say, that child is running wild. But I'm here to say to you, that little child is bringing us back to what we should know, that our spirit is not a spirit of greed, corruption, and self-satisfaction. Our spirit is a spirit of generosity, of community, of an outpouring of love. That's just natural. And I appreciate what you brought. What you brought for us to let us think about this little baby sitting up in Sweden, understanding the encroaching doom of her generation, the planet, saying we have to do something. And she spoke from her heart, because she wasn't satisfied that her parents would tell her, baby, it's going to be all right. We're protected. I have money. I'm an elite. I have this, that, and the other, and you will not have to worry. Now, if she was an American child, and it might be like, baby, we'll get you into Harvard or Yale or Georgetown or Southern Cal or UCLA. Don't you worry about a thing. It's guaranteed. See, but no, she was in another place, and her parents may have said to her, you needn't worry about those adult things. But she listened to her spirit, which we all have. It's just that we get away from that spirit when we start getting into this arena of competition, and we start thinking more about ourselves rather than others. But the little child heard her spirit, and that spirit said, we need to do something. And so she did. And it has spread all over the world, even these shores have reflected her leadership. So I appreciate what you brought to us today, because we can still touch that little child within us. We can still think about that little child that is not gone. We may say, well, we're grown up now. We have gray hair and or no hair. But, you know, the little child is still there. The little child of curiosity, generosity, and, of course, the little child of community, because every child likes to think about we, us. And so, brother, I like what you brought us. You gave us much to ponder and much to look under this skin that we have that is so thickened by the arrows of deceit. And of course, pain. And so we have thick skin now. But underneath that thick skin, there is still the spirit of generosity, and we need to touch that and get close to it.
Good stuff. You know, I don't I don't know if you've heard any of the interviews with her or her parents.
Yeah, just the little clips, you know, not an interview, just the clips.
But her parents quit their jobs or changed their careers. I remember her mother, I believe she was a touring opera singer or something like that. She quit and doing something different because she didn't want to be traveling around in these planes and all this. I think her dad is doing something different now. She totally transformed the lives of her family. And then look at this international movement. Now, do you agree? And I made kind of an allusion that all of these headline grabbing things today are going to dominate.
Oh, especially in this country. Yeah, in this country, because this country looks for distraction. We'll be a water pipe may have broken two streets down, and that becomes the issue of the day rather than the larger issue. But here, I want to get to something, though, you said, and that has to do with many of us thinking, if what I'm doing is so little, I recycle, I try to, you know, walk rather than, you know, ride and all that sort of thing. I mean, that's what people are saying. But, you know, people, I'm trying to do my part, you know. But people need to understand that is good, that is wonderful, but the main emitters, the big emitter, we got to turn to the utility companies, right? Because those are the ones emitting the pollution into the air. If it is coal-fired, you know, natural gas is beginning to do more, take over. But, you know, our president wants to stop that. And some states are even subscribing to a notion that they will make their utility company that is relying upon coal-fired utility, make that utility company stop sale that entity, and then they have to buy back from the company they sold it to. The utility has to buy back from the company they sold it to in order to continue using, so that the utility is not using the coal. The private company that bought it from the utility is actually doing it, and that's the way that you keep coal in the loop, right? So you have fools like this who are coming up with all kinds of notions so that we are to continue emitting a noxious chemical like carbon, you know, to keep carbon in the air. All right. So those are the big emitters. And of course, you know, you have those pipelines and the people who are digging for oil and gas and all that. Those are the emitters. So we have to understand that it's not just upon us. It's with these huge corporations and utilities that are really the fomenter of this havoc that we are undergoing. So it's okay, and I want to say this and I'll stop. Former President Barack Obama, remember, said, no, the Keystone Pipeline is not what we need to have in light of the Paris Accord. So he stopped the Keystone Pipeline. One of the first things the hustler did when he came into the office was to get that going again, and then here we go. So that's where, and then of course you had a spill, you know, because that's what pipelines do, they break. So there are places we can point. We can do our little bit. But the big bits, that's where we need to go after. And we can, and we are going after these folks. So I just want to throw that in there. Don't put blame on yourself, brother, because you're not the problem. It's our friends who enjoy greed at the expense of our living, the planet's living. Greed over that so that everybody dies. But they got their money now. That's the key.
Oh, yeah. I know that. I guess I'm just saying, if I'm going to ask them, governments and corporations, to do self-evaluation, then I need to do that myself.
And see, and that's, man, that's the beautiful spirit that you have, free man. See, that's what I'm talking about. You know that spirit inside of you, that spirit of fairness, equity. And so you turn to yourself before you look at these greedy corporate hegemonic demons. You know, you stand before them and you say, I have looked at myself and I have examined myself. And what am I doing so that I can legitimately turn to you and ask you the same thing? And I applaud that. But at the same time, I say, I don't need to look at myself because you're the problem. You're the problem, not me. You are the problem. I'm not looking at myself. I'm looking at what you're doing because you are the huge problem that we're dealing with. And so that anger, you know, I appreciate you, brother, because you are a saintly brother.
What about that?
Hey, you know, but some of us say, I ain't a saint. Now, blankety, blank, blank, blankety. And then we start reeling and rolling. But, you know, before I get off of this track, I'm saying that shows what I said earlier. That testifies to what I was saying earlier. We have this spirit within us that we honor and respect. And we tend that spirit. We take care of that spirit. And you're doing that, brother. I'm not saying you're a saint. I said Saint Lee. That means you're not quite there. But you're attempting, brother. At least you're trying, you know. So that's what I'm saying. That these rogues that we have out there leading us have no compassion toward one another, toward each other, toward us, because they see themselves as separate from us. See, man, don't get me started on this whole idea of why we had segregation in the first place, segregation of the races and separateness and all like that. Don't get me started on that, brother, because that gets to the heart of the matter of what we're dealing with now. There is an intersection. This is not different. The horrible events that happen in New Zealand are connected to the climate aloofness that we have people yep. doing the climate. That's connected to the current racial turmoil that we have within our cities and states and communities. All of that is connected. All of that whole intersection of all of that has to do with separating ourselves from one another, brother. That's the whole idea. If we are separate from one another, then we can assume this legitimate, we think, position of I'm different and better. Not just different, I'm better. And that better coming with that better is that I am owed, hear me now, I am owed this level of entitlement. I'm owed this level, right? So that's all of this is connected, and that's it's the reason why this separateness is so huge that we're dealing with here. No, don't just separate that from this. No, let's pull that together because it belongs together. It's how we approach our living, brother. It's how we approach yep. living. Are we in community with one another? Are we separate? It's those people over there. It's the other over there. It's that they're different. And not only are they different, but I'm better than they are. Yeah. Now, I don't care. I don't care if I have more money than you do. Money is not the issue. I'm better than you. My culture is better than yours. You know, that sort of thing. And that's so, so foreign to who we really are. You know, we are not made like
Agreed.
That, man.
It's okay, just, brother, we're going to...
All right, don't let me get started, brother. Hold me back.
You're going to get your, you know, on the other side of the break
here, break.
You're going to get a whole lot of time.
So. Well, let's hear Curtis Mayfield, man. Come on.
Yeah, but play just to close this segment,
yes. All
we've
right.
talked about this on this show before, but the word sin is about separation.
There you go. See?
It's about separation. So
there you go.
Mm-hmm. Going way back
mm-hmm.
into the primal, spiritual, human consciousness and instinct,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
was that root saying it's separation. Separation right. is the issue.
Yes, it is.
All right. We're going to take it back up on after the break.
All right.
Got to play some more. And I apologize, brother. You cannot hear this because I'm getting all.
But that's all right.
All amped up.
I'll ask Siri to play it for me in a minute.
There you go. We'll have dueling musical breaks here.
Yeah.
A little bit more of Curtis Mayfield, Little Child Running Wild. And we'll be back in a momento. From across the
channel. Where is the mayor who make all things fair? He lives outside a polluted air, and I didn't have to be here. You didn't have to love for me while I was just a nothing child. Why couldn't they just let me be, let me be, let me be, let me be?
Curtis, where is that mayor who lives off our polluted air? I'm going to tell you, man, you got to listen to that because that's just right on it. Welcome back. And that's the thing. I tell people all the time, if you have hit on a profound truth in a song or in a scripture or in a poem or whatever it may be, then that thing, you read it 100 years later, 500 years later, and it still applies like it could have been the latest tweet.
Yep.
So welcome back. This is Soul Talk here on the Soul Talk Radio Network. I'm Chuck Freeman, your sacred chef for our spiritual feast, and we're going to move on now to what we call our soul stirrer with embodied faith in action. And when I was texting Brother Davis early this morning and asking him what he wanted to talk about, he said, "Brother, don't ask me now." he had some colorful language, which I can't say. That's why I said, Brother Reverend Gerald Davis will speak as the Spirit gives him utterance. And you have to say that in the King James.
That's right.
This brother is going to speak. And so I know it could be wide-ranging. It could cover many topics.
Yes.
But take it away, brother.
Well, brother, we, in our tradition, and the tradition for those who may not know, Freeman and I are both Unitarian Universalist ministers. And in our tradition, we are informed, our tradition is informed by many sources. And one of those sources has to do with something that like this: words and deeds from prophetic people who challenge us to confront the power and structures of evil with compassion, justice, and the transforming power of love.
There you go.
Now, that's a source that informs us. Words and deeds from prophetic people. And it wasn't that long ago when I heard a Muslim cleric say, after a horrific event, this Muslim cleric said, "I'm sorry, but I'm not surprised." He said, "I do not feel like this was something that just was calamitous. It just happened." Mm-hmm. "We are in," he said, "we are in an environment where mass shootings are prevalent, and I am not surprised that once again, here's another mass shooting of people who were practicing their faith. You know, they weren't armed to the teeth. They weren't in war. They were in prayer. And they were shot and killed in New Zealand. So that was on my mind, that cleric saying, I'm not surprised. Because he said, it's not this gunman. And he said, that's the other thing, that you'll want to say the lone gunman, and you'll want to say, oh, see, that's just a crazy man. And he was trying to tell us, this is not about a crazy person. This is about an environment that allows a person like that to pick up a gun and not go to just one, but two temples and kill people. You know, so he's saying, what kind of environment are we living in? Mm-hmm. What is the conversation? What is the understanding or misunderstanding that is allowing this sort of thing, that people can think of such horrible things to do? It's to kill people, man, because they are practicing their faith. Chuck, they're not doing anything except praying. Now, I would hate if people, I mean, and the Unitarians have not been spared. Remember Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yep.
Right? We haven't been spared. People come in and say, I'm going to shoot y'all because y'all practicing your faith. That is crazy. And so, whew, let me slow down. But it's bothering me because we are tolerating this madness by you reading a tweet filled with hate and you go, oh, that's just an ignorant person. No, we have to immediately respond to stuff and say, this is not conducive for anything positive. Don't bring that kind of hate speech on this medium. You know, we have to do that. We have to let people know this is not tolerated. This is intolerable. And so we are, you know, my dogs are scratching, Free Man, because they can feel. They can feel me. In here, mm-hmm. They're saying something is wrong, because Brother Man is you know, he's heating up, and I don't want to heat up over the airways. I want to tell us that there is something you can do. You can tell people when you hear the hate speech or when you read the hate speech, you can immediately respond and say, this is not tolerated on this platform. Stop it. Now, you don't have to go into, you are a blankety blank. Don't go there, because they just say, okay, I get that. I can turn my chagrin against you. Now, just say the platform does not tolerate this. We live in a country, yes, where we say the First Amendment guarantees free speech. No doubt. They didn't say free hate speech, but free speech. If you are impinging, if you are saying hateful things that can result in an atmosphere that will eventually hurt somebody, then that's not the kind of freedom we're talking about. This is not hating people. And this is what we have right now. We have this level that says it's okay, because we got a horrific hustler, con artist, liar, cheat, who is leading. I heard on the radio the other day, this lady said, I can't wait for me to stop saying, I can't believe he's president. Mm-hmm. She says, I say this every day. I cannot believe this guy is president because of the things he says and does. But what she's trying to say is that I have to say that to myself every day to let me know this is not normal. This is abnormal. This is crazy time. You know, and so we have to remind ourselves, otherwise we'll begin, oh, that's just old him. That's the way he is, that kind of thing. No, he's not. That guy should not be like Madam Speaker said. He is ethically and intellectually, I think that was the word she used, unfit. That was the word she used. Ethically and intellectually unfit for that office. We know that. So let's get him out, you know. But he's not the only one, because the same kind of hate speech and the same kind of rhetoric is throughout Europe, in some of these countries that have elected these quote-unquote populist presidents, in Latin America, in Brazil, and look what they're trying to do in Venezuela, you know. Throughout our hemisphere, Philippines, come on, come
India.
On. India, yes. These are the folks that say, okay, I'll do it too. But it's wrong. It's an authoritarian, dictatorial way of telling people. He said, this fool said yesterday, I have the police and the military behind me. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds like he's some kind of military dictator,
scary.
You know. You know, it is scary. I got the military and the police. You know, try something. You know, it's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. We cannot, people, we cannot allow the power and structures of evil to continue without challenging them. We must confront them. And our tradition says we confront them with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love. Yeah, but justice first. Justice first. And I will be compassionate in how I deal. And hopefully that compassion will allow that person to see love is the dominating characteristic of who I am and who most people are. Most human beings, their dominating characteristic is love. That's what I was saying earlier with little kids. Little kids automatically want community. They want us. Oh, let's us play. Let's we. They're not just in this solitary, I'm the chief and head, and you do what I say. It's like, I want to work together. It's an automatic, natural kind of response to other people. It's a we thing. So that's compassion. That's love. And that's what justice is. That's what our friend Cornel West always says. Justice is love in public. You know, that's all it is. So that's where we are as a faith tradition. That's where we come from. But we have to confront these powers and structures of evil. We have to confront. If we don't do that, they rule. And they continue to rule, and they get more and more and more. We got to call it out. And when you call it out, that means that the spotlight turns to who is that? And the spotlight turns to you. And you may be afraid. You may be shaking in your boots. Your voice may be quivering. But don't run. Stand. Stand there and tell them, this is what I'm saying. You are wrong in how you're treating people. The way you treat people is not the way we're supposed to treat them. Whether you use the Constitution or the Quran or the Bible or whatever authority you use, including words and deeds of prophetic people, whatever you use as your source, we must confront the power and structures of evil. Amen.
Let me just pause. There you go, Britt. Let me just pause for a minute and let our listeners know that this is Soul Talk. Here on the Soul Talk Radio Network, you can go to soultalkradio.com. Here are archives streaming 24/7. In fact, I went on the other day, Gerald, and there was a show streaming that you and I did a couple of years ago. It was about the 50th anniversary of I Have a Dream speech.
Okay.
It was damn good.
Well, good, brother. I'm glad. I hope people hear it and understand that we are called. We are called. Free man. This is what I want people to take away from this. This isn't about entertainment. This is about a call. And that call says to you, if you can hear it, you're being called, that we are called to confront these powers and structures of evil. And we're going to confront them not with an AR-15. No, we're confronting it with justice. We're confronting them with compassion, and we are confronting them with that transforming power of love.
I want to ask you something.
Yes, sir.
So as we all look in ourselves, we know that there's the worst of our own humanity that will play in to what's being fomented right now. What's being fomented right now, where we have a world where there's more travel, where there's more migration, we have different people from different cultures and different socioeconomic and different faith. So it's going to kick in to our innate tribalism and fear of the other and all that kind of thing. So I could just say, You know, I find myself from time to time, I'll be in line somewhere, I'll be in a store, and here I might see a brown person or a black person or a woman or all the historically oppressed people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, get out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get that message in my head like, you better get out of my way because I'm the privileged mm-hmm. white guy.
There you
so,
go.
So, no. I can hear that, and that voice.
And that has bound you up. That the privileges of that you did not earn, quote unquote, the unmerited gifts that you have received just by being the color of your skin binds you up, because that keeps you from being as creative as you could be, because you're saying, well, that's not what we people do. So, yeah, the bottom line to all of what I'm trying to say is that the natural goodness that God has given us, that grace that moves past our worst days, is still there. It's in you. That love that is more powerful than any of the hate or separateness that you've been taught, that love will overcome it in a moment. You'll see and feel better from it. So that's all I'm saying. Yeah. People out there who may think, well, there's nothing I can do. I didn't enslave any black people, and I don't have anything to do with that. I just know that black people scare me, you know, and you may be thinking that because that's one of the stereotypes, you know, you just automatically. But you have to overcome that simply by understanding that you came from black people.
Right.
You hear me? You came from black people. You descended from people in Africa. And that you have that tree. You're part of that tree. And so you're not Superman with kryptonite. You know, that's not it. You're not Superman. You're not the exceptional one. No, you're not. No, you're not. You are relatively new to this world. Because the first people on this planet who were walking around had dark skin. Yeah. Now, that's the first thing to understand. Now, the second thing to understand is that race came from racism. And that's what Ta-Nehisi Coates reminded us when he wrote the book Between the World and Me. He was saying race is a child of racism. Race was invented, white people.
Yep.
It was invented.
Yep.
So that we would be separate, so that we would see ourselves as different. It is not something that is biologically provable.
Nope.
You know, the DNA is the same, you know, we just have more melanin. So you got to scientifically attack this thing that has become a norm. Racism has become a norm, and race is a norm, but it's not the way it's supposed to be. And that's the thing that I'm talking about. Your inner goodness will overcome all this stuff that keeps you separate, and you just got to let it come on out. Let it come out.
What I'm finding for myself, and I think for others this is needed as well, is there has to be a conscious an active intent when you hear these voices that say, oh no, you know, you're better than them. They're this,
mm-hmm.
they're that, they're this,
mm-hmm.
they're that, and the other, and then blah, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
If you cannot get into an intentional dialogue with yourself about that and go, what, you said what? You said what? You thought
mm-hmm.
what? You think what?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You see that, you know, people like this man who did this,
mm-hmm.
They allowed themselves to succumb to that. They did not, and I'm not, once again, you can't blame it on this guy because, you know, it's a worldwide phenomenon. It's a
right.
human element. But unless
right.
we have a conscious effort to educate ourselves, to be grounded
mm.
in our spiritual disciplines, mm. our emotional intelligence,
mm-hmm.
expanding our circle of connections and realizing, hey, everyone, we're all the same. We all breathe the same air, have the same mm-hmm. blood.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can tell you that if I'm not in a ongoing conscious, what's the word I'm looking at? Transformative mindset, then, you know, I could easily succumb to this kind of stuff. It's easier to do that. It's easier mm-hmm. to, particularly when you get the power brokers that are fomenting this stuff. So
yes.
that's one
yes.
thing I want people to hear
mm-hmm.
is there's an
challenge
intentional
themselves.
Effort that has to go on to
yes.
go a different route.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is and you know, reading is huge. You know, you have to look at the history. Look at the real history. Don't read the textbooks, unfortunately, that you're getting in school. Unfortunately, go read some books that people are telling you really what's going on. I'm going to read this book. I haven't read it yet, but Amy Goodman referred to it in Democracy Now, and she had the author on. It's called Winners Take All, and it's something about elite charade, the elite charade of changing the world. The elite's
yes,
charade. Yeah, well, the point that this guy is saying is that, it's really heavy because it's saying the good guys, these people, these corporate people, these philanthropists who are, you know, after, you know, doing impact enterprise and, you know, we're going to show, you know, the poor people, we're going to give them what they need. You know, there's self-gain behind all of this. That there's and he goes into it. Like, I have to read the book to really get it.
So that was the guy on there this morning?
Yeah, this morning, yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch the name of the book. Okay.
Yeah, Winners Take All, Elite Charade, the elite charade of changing the world. You know, that's the charade. We're changing the world. And he's saying, wait a minute, look a little deeper, And you'll see, you know, the analogy he uses is that, okay, if on the airplane, if you're on first class, you have, you know, you have a little more money, a little more movement, right, than others. And that's why you ride in first class. But he said the elite first class is not good enough because people can gather points from that, or they ordinarily don't have the money, but they have the flying points, mm-hmm. and so they can sit in first class. So no. Now we got to move past the airplane, and so we have private jets and helicopters. And the point is, the elites look at the guarantee, you know, that they will be above anybody else. They guarantee. So all of this philanthropy and stuff that, you know, you start unpacking, you see that, no, they're still getting paid. You know, there's something that's going on here that is still elevating them. So, you know, I hate to start being so philosophically dubious of everything that's around me, right? I don't want to be like that. But what I want to be able to do is be honest about what I'm seeing. And if it's dirty, it's dirty. Whether the person may have given a lot of money toward something that I appreciate. But when I see that in the end, this person is getting more from giving that money, they're getting even more through tax manipulation and other stuff, then it's like, wait a minute, what's really going on here? Is this a feel-good thing, or is this really changing the world, quote-unquote? So anyway, that's the kind of stuff we need to read about what's really going on and really read the history. And that's why, you know, the People's History of the United States that Howard Zinn wrote was such a dangerous book. And then he made it even more dangerous by putting it out as a PDF. So you could download it. You don't even have to buy it. You know, Howard Zinn was trying to get us to see the real history of this country, the people's history. And when we start seeing the real deal here and start understanding what's really going on, then, yeah, you may be a little dubious, but the most important thing is that your eyes are open and you are aware. And when you are aware, you can make better decisions about not only what's good for you, but what's good for your community. So that's the first thing. You have to educate yourself. The second thing is that trust what you're seeing. You know, that observation is huge. And critique what you're seeing. You know, think about what it means. And then you can organize. And when you organize, do some action. That's what we do. That's what Freeman and I do. We do action. But we don't just flail our hands and jump off the roof, you know.
Yep.
Our action has consequences.
Brother,
go ahead. There's
another book, Gerald, I want to read.
Mm-hmm.
How to Hide an Empire.
Ah.
A History of the Greater United States. I've heard several interviews with that author, and it's about all the territories, quote-unquote.
Yes. Yes.
Colonies.
Yeah, that's right. I heard that. Yeah, I heard an interview with that guy. He was talking about not just Puerto Rico and not just Hawaii,
yeah,
but he was talking about the other islands out there that are territories, quote unquote, under the U.S. flag. Yeah.
At any rate. So, all right, we got about a minute left here, my brother.
Yeah.
How would you like to wrap this up?
Well, there's a couple of things. You started out by reminding us that the little child is running wild. But the little child is running wild because the little child is listening to the spirit that's within all of us. And sometimes we get into lockstep formation and walk the spirit of culture. But the little child is saying, if the culture is about community, I'm running in the same direction. But if it's not, I'm not running in that direction. I'm running in the direction of community. So the little child is leading us into a habitable environment where we can, all of us can breathe easily. That's what the little child is doing. You started us out that way. And I say, on the way to this habitable environment, we must confront the power and structures of evil because they don't want us to have that kind of lifestyle where we are living together and not separately. So once we begin to organize and act against these powers and structures of evil, using justice to help us do that, we continue to follow the path that the little child is leading us because we know as we go, we grow. Amen?
There you go.
Amen.
That's a great way to wrap it up, Brother Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Always great to have you on the program. I will look forward to seeing you in about a week.
Yes, we will.
Tulsa,
and we'll
Oklahoma.
Lift the glass and make a toast to all
on
that's
the
good.
The G, the A, and the P.
Yes, we will. We'll be right there.
All right, brother. We'll be in touch. See you soon.
All right, mate. All right, peace.
Always great to have you on.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Later.
Bye-bye.
And I do want to thank you, neighbors, for joining our spiritual feast. You can hear us every day. Just go on over to soultalkradio.com. We've got our archive streaming 24/7. We've got our podcast up there. We're also now streaming on Progressive Voices Network. Just go to Progressive Voices on the internet, and you can hear us there as well. Until we dine again, love the good and live the good. This is Soul Talk. I'm your sacred chef, Chuck Freeman, and we will see you around the block with good thanks to Brother Gerald Davis. And now, a little bit more of Brother Curtis, Little Child Running Wild.
Got a Jones running through my bones. I'm sorry, son, but all your mind is gone. Pain for rip in my upper hip. I guess it's time. Take another trip.